Double double, does this spell trouble? Is a Haaland triple captain an obvious move? And how many City and Liverpool players do we really need? And enjoy the peace of the early stages of this week's pod. Hello, welcome back to the FPL podcast. Kelly Summers, joined by Sam Bonfield, Ian Irving, but...
Hello.
Hello. No Julian Laron.
Where is he?
Where is he? Well, it won't come as any surprise to anyone who follows Jules on Twitter or knows of Jules that he is the most, I don't want to say in demand because that makes it sound like a positive, but he is the most thinly spread broadcaster, shall we say? He likes to work for as many people as possible. And of course, he also loves PSG and Paris, as you'll know from listening to this podcast. And on Wednesday night, we're recording this on Thursday morning, he was, of course, in Paris for the PSG game. He is en route back. His train was cancelled, but we're hoping that at some point, our favourite French friend will join us. In the
are
meantime,
we hoping for that, or are we hoping he just doesn't make it at all?
I had to say that because it was written on my script.
Only Jules.
No, we love what he brings to this podcast. We also love it, Sam. Ian, did we all beat him? We all beat him this week, right? Ian, ooh, did you as well?
Might be a... touchy subject for me, that one.
Oh, well, Ian nearly beat him. Let's just beat him.
Why have we got Ian on then? We needed all the people to gloat at Jules.
Well, we still can anyway, because, you know, we did really well this week, Hal.
Ian, we'll come to you in a moment. Let me and Sam just have our moment to gloat, all right? Sam, yeah. It was great to beat him, wasn't it? We had a good week.
Yeah, I think he's scared. I think that's what's actually happened here. I think he's gone, oh no, they've actually had a good week. They might catch me. I better not make it to the pod on time. Yeah, I had a great week. And I must admit, oh, it was such a relief to see a green arrow that actually stuck. 6 long weeks of red arrows I've had consistently just not working, benching headaches, making wrong decisions. This time around, 91 points, a nice green arrow. Everything feels well with the world. Although, I must admit, I did hate myself a little bit as a Spurs fan, because when that William Saliba goal went in, I was like, yes. And then I was like, what am I doing? I can't cheer an Arsenal goal. And then when Gabriel also scored, I was like, well, that's annoying, because that takes out those points that I thought I was getting over the Gabriel owners. But yeah, 91, I'm absolutely thrilled with that.
Just to confirm what you did do last week, you got 91, you took a -4 as well. Not that I'm trying to point out, but that means you ended on 87 and I'm on 86. So I kind of want to feel like I'm only a point behind you. But also Pascal Gross returned for you. You didn't sell him and he returned for you.
No, I didn't sell him in the end. And I was very close to selling him.
What did you do? Just tell the listeners what you did.
So I went Anthony Gordon, which then really stressed me out. So Anthony Gordon went and I bought in Jota instead, on the basis that Eddie Howe had said that Anthony Gordon wasn't going to play. So I thought, well, I'll hold Gross then, because I do need to make sure that I've got a team available for game week 26. So I'll hold Pascal Gross, I'll sell Anthony Gordon. And I also, based upon all of Ian's amazing Alfie Doughty stats over the last few weeks, decided to sell Livramento for Doughty. The Gordon thing was frustrating, because when I saw that Newcastle team sheet, I was like, oh no, I could have had an absolute nightmare here, because obviously Anthony Gordon started and I've never been so relieved to see somebody blank as I was Anthony Gordon in that match. But yeah, Jota coming in, getting the return is great. And obviously I now have him for the double game week. Doughty, I was disappointed, actually. I was really, really disappointed, because I just didn't see that result coming. Created 9 chances, didn't he, in that game week? And yet no attacking returns. So he was a bit of a frustration, but all in all, the -4 has worked out, because now, of course, I've got those 2 doubling players for game week 25 as well.
Come on then, Ian, a -4 for you as well. You did 3 transfers. The reason I thought you'd beaten Jules, well, I knew you'd come close, because when you look on the FPL app, you finished on 83 and he finished on 84, but yours was 83 with a -4, wasn't it?
Yeah, I rolled the dice a little bit last week, took a -4 to take out Pedro Porro, Ollie Watkins, and the one that hurt me, Cole Palmer. Which
you
I
were
thought,
brave.
Well, I thought that would have been a masterstroke when we were heading into stoppage time at Selhurst Park on Monday night. It seemed like a brilliant move. And then somehow, luckily, I think he probably rescued both of you from getting a lower score than me as well, coming back on the podcast. He got those 2 assists. I ended up 4 points down on the move. It was Alfie Doughty, Diogo Jota and Darwin Nunez that I brought in. I told you that we'd all own Alfie Doughty at some point. I didn't tell you the fact that we'd all get a 1-pointer from him. So I missed that bit off. But Kelly, you've really let us down. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I got a bit of abuse in our WhatsApp group this week for not bringing him in, actually. I really missed that whole 1 point, guys.
Well, but let's see what he gets this week.
Well, I'm just annoyed because I have kept Trent all of this time. Through before when he was missing and all of that 8.6 million sitting on my bench thinking I'd want him when he came back from injury. Fine. Got him. I'd want him for the double. What's he going to do? Get the knee injury again, isn't he? And now he's going to miss that. The headline I saw was Trent to miss EFL Cup final. Never mind the cup final. He's going to miss the double game week, guys. Like,
but you did roll your transfer, right? Last week. So
yes,
now
thank
you've
goodness
got
I did.
Two. But,
And it's a bit
it's
of a...
It's annoying, isn't it? I'm in the same boat as you, Kelly.
But it's like, I'm trying to see the positive in it, Ian, that in the whole time I've had him, I have thought, gosh, I wish I could have had a Joe Gomez or someone that was a little bit cheaper.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
Well, maybe not. But do you know what I mean? I could go a bit cheaper and use that money elsewhere to maybe have another Man City right. attacker or something like that. So I'm trying to see the positive like that. But equally, it's wasting a transfer that I could have made. I could have got rid of him weeks ago.
So you're going to double down on this then? So you're not going to just take out Trent Alexander-Arnold. You're going to use the money elsewhere this week and use both of your free transfers?
I think so, yeah.
Why would you not do that?
Yeah,
well, isn't that going to leave you in a spot for next week?
Well, depends on how many other players you've got from Chelsea and Spurs and or if she wants to use their free hit next week.
Yeah, it depends what I do elsewhere. But I'm going to get rid of... Surely you're going to get rid of Trent, Ian?
Yeah, but I'll probably get rid of him. I mean, this is a massive spoiler alert for our transfers later.
Sorry.
I'll probably get rid of him for the player that I would have brought in anyway in game week 26, right, okay. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, you could go for somebody like Reguilón in that defender slot. Nice and cheap. Plays in 26, plays in 29, got some attacking threat. Gives you the opportunity to invest more heavily in Liverpool moving forward without causing you too many issues for game week 26.
Let's park that thought there. We'll discuss our plans for how to attack not only double game week 25, but also game week 26 very shortly. And maybe these guys will make me rethink my plans. I'm just annoyed because it's one less doubler for this week. I thought I'd set up. But it's what always happens when we have these double game weeks, isn't it? We get overexcited and then something like this happens. Just to reflect on a little bit more, Ian, you brought in, we had a joke, didn't we, earlier in the season about you not having Erling Haaland. This time you went early on him. So you kind of had him before, as soon as you thought he was going to be available.
Yeah.
You were in his press conferences, Pep's press conferences, asking if he was going to be available.
Not for my FPL team, I might add. Yeah, I was being
professional. I think it was.
There was a bonus of that as well. You've gone big. You captained him this week. I'm so glad in the end, until about 10 minutes before the deadline, I had the captain on, Kevin De Bruyne. So I'm so glad
I changed it.
Yeah, I changed it to Haaland out of fear. So I'm really glad I did. But he got those goals. He left it late as well, but he got those goals, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He certainly performed better in the game than he did in his post-match interview where I got about 3 one-word answers to my questions. I don't think he was in the mood to talk. He was just in the mood to return for my FPL team. But Erling, I don't care because you got 26 points as my captain. So that's fine. That's the right way around. I just think he's a must-own now, quite simply. I don't think there is any debate whatsoever about you owning him. He's extremely expensive if you haven't got him yet at 14.4 million. But his effective ownership this week is going to be absolutely through the roof because he will be a very, very popular triple captain. And I think you're even brave not to use your triple captain on him, to be honest, because there's going to be so many people doing it. If you didn't own him, I mean, you need to leave the country and not have a mobile phone signal, I think.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like that, doesn't it, Sam? We're back in that territory.
It does, yeah. It's a tough one, isn't it, with Haaland, because every week that you don't have him, the cost of getting him back gets greater and greater because people will get the fear of not having him and the impact that last week had on the FPL teams and managers who didn't have him will mean that they really want him going into the double game week. And then, as Ian said, it's not just about the amount of players in the game that own him. It's about the amount of players in the game that own him, plus the amount of players in the game who captain him, plus the amount of players in the game who triple captain him. So suddenly, just owning him doesn't feel like enough. Like, I would, after the Champions League performance on Tuesday evening, I was like, maybe Kevin De Bruyne is the right triple captain because it's a midfielder and you get the additional points for goals and assists, and he is in just incredible form. He's doing so well. But then the absolute fear of Erling Haaland sitting there not having an armband on it. I know. I don't know if I'm that brave, but it's one of those things, isn't it, where I think you have to really consider what you're doing with your team. If you don't have him, I think he's got to be a priority, hasn't he?
Yeah, Haaland was captained by almost 5 million managers. He got 2 goals. Kevin De Bruyne, second most captained, over 1 million managers captained him. So everyone's still banking on Haaland, aren't they? That kind of just shows the difference. Almost, what is it, over four, five times the amount. Watkins was the third most captained. Everyone listened to this podcast last week, following Jules's lead. Jules didn't captain him though, did he?
Who did he captain? No, he wimped out and captained Haaland, didn't
Haaland.
He?
There we go. Okay. The editor doesn't even need to edit that out because I like Sam's reaction to that. I was going to be like, hold on, edit that out while I find it, check who his captain was. But yeah, Sam's reaction was brilliant then. Saliba also heavily benched. Over 500,000 managers benched him. He got 12 points for a goal and a clean sheet against West Ham. But as Sam said, it didn't benefit you if you were Saliba over Gabriel because Gabriel also scored. So yeah, I was pleased by that because I own Gabriel. In terms of our mini league then, Jules's climb does continue. He's now just 6 points outside the top 5,000, made worse by leaving 17 points on the bench this week. Might have to mention that when he does join us. I took almost 40% off my rank. I had a green arrow, which was very nice. I'm actually only 32 points off the top 10K, but that is quite a lot. Anyway, I'm quite happy with where I am. Sam, as we said, got a first green arrow after six consecutive reds. You moved up 85,000 though, didn't you? That's not bad.
Yeah, it was a really, really great green arrow. So at least the curse of the reds was broken in fashion. So I was quite pleased with that. And, you know, now it feels like hopefully this is the start of some good weeks.
Ian, 3 points off the top 300,000. Now you're just 88 points off the top 10,000. 26 points behind Sam, 56 points behind myself, and 96 points behind Jules. You're saying that as if it's not good.
Well, it's not, is it? I was a bit closer a few weeks ago.
It's because you stopped coming on the pod, you see. You had a few weeks off the pod.
That's exactly it. So you invited me on the podcast. It was brilliant. You know, I came on, I tried to help other people, but more so help myself and get the information from you guys as to what to do and how to play the game. And I've recovered immensely to this point. And then obviously I've not been on the pod for a couple of weeks and I've just stayed at the same spot really. So now I'm back this week and maybe if I'm back in the future as well, perhaps I can push on again. I mean, 88 points off the top 10K sounds horrendous, doesn't it? But when you consider I was probably 88 points off the bottom 10K when I first started coming on the podcast, it's a lot better. Yeah.
But you get your chip strategy right and those 88 points can easily become nothing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I agree. Let's do it.
These are the weeks. These are the weeks where managers like Jules get caught out and the managers like Ian come to
especially
the
fore.
Jules can't
here.
Even get to this pod on time, let alone get his chip strategy right.
Vamos, Chico. Where are you, Jules? Come on.
taking a glance in at our FPL pod mini league, congratulations to Itai. He's back to top spot overall. His 76 points in game week 24 means he sits 70th in the world overall. This week, he sold Colwill for Virgil, which of course paid off and gives him an extra double game week player for game week 25. He's 6 points clear of last week's leader, Hjalmar, who bravely went against the Haaland captain. I don't think he'll be doing that again. He gave the armband to Richarlison, who didn't return last week, as I too well know. Okay, we parked the thought before of what I should do in game week 25 and 26, but let's see if we can discuss what we're going to do and help the listeners with a really interesting point of the season. So game week 25, a reminder, is a double for Brentford, Liverpool, Luton and Manchester City. Game week 26, though, is a blank for Chelsea, Liverpool, Luton and Spurs. Game week 28, a double for Bournemouth and Luton. 29 will be a blank because of the FA Cup quarterfinals, meaning Aston Villa, Brentford, Burnley, Fulham, Spurs and West Ham are the only teams currently guaranteed to play in game week 29, but we will get some more news about that, so keep your ears to the ground. So, Sam, this is where I know you get very excited. For me, it just gives me the absolute fear. What does this mean for FPL managers now? How on earth do we navigate this period?
It means you have to plan. You have to have a plan, because if you go really heavy on Liverpool and Luton this week, you might end up with a massive score for game week 25. However, if they then stay in your team for game week 26 and you don't have a free hit chip, or you take a massive hit to take them back out again for 26, you could find that the number of points that you've gained from them in 25 is whittled away to next to nothing by the time you finish playing out game week 26. So we have to think really carefully. And you also have to think about the logistics of there then being another double game week in game week 28, because the temptation this week might be to sell Dominic Solanke, because the fixture in 26 isn't great by any stretch of the imagination. It's Manchester City. So you know, you might think, well, I can sell him this week and then I can get him back in for 27 when he's got that nice fixture and then into the double in 28. But if that's part of a hit, is it even worth it if you're hitting somebody out to hit them back in again, particularly if that hit is for somebody like a Darwin Núñez, because then he doesn't play in 26. So you could end up with back-to-back hits. So if you're starting with a minus eight for it, it gets really complicated. So you have to sit down and think about what's your team looking like each week in the coming weeks and then know, okay, this week I've got four double in players. Next week I've got three blanking players. I'd like some more doubles. I don't want to play my free hit. So therefore I'm going to invest in teams like Brentford and Manchester City who have the fixture in 26. Or on the flip of that, it could be, oh, I'm going to play my free hit in 26. Then knock yourself out. Go for whoever it is that you want because you don't need to worry about that.
How many doublers have you got or do you think you'll have for 25, Sam?
So at the minute, I've got four. I think in an ideal world, I'd like six. However, I think I'll end up with five because five gives me less issues when it comes to game week 26.
Ian, what about you? How's your team shaping up ahead of these ones?
I've got seven.
Oh,
three Liverpool, three City, one Luton, but one is Trent Alexander-Arnold. So depending on what move I end up making, I know we've talked about it a little bit already. I won't talk about it more at this point, but depending on what that move is, I think I'm probably likely to end up with six just to try and accelerate the moves. Because like Sam says, you have to plan for these coming weeks. It'd be a massive temptation to go with a doubler in game week 25. Sam mentioned Reguilon before. I could even go for a Liverpool defender like you were talking about, Kelly. You know, Andy Robertson, maybe. Again, we'll talk about options later on. Someone like that and just go for it. But it does give you the problem in game week 26. I mean, if you're playing your free hit, fill your boots this week. Get as many as you possibly can. Definitely get three City, no matter what you're doing. They are the kings of this little period for us in FPL because they've got a really good double in game week 25, but they also play in game week 26 as well with a half-decent fixture away at Bournemouth. So don't be afraid tripling up on them. Absolutely not. It's Liverpool and Luton who are the two teams that you have to be careful with, especially if you've already got Chelsea and Tottenham players in your team as well. Mm. Part of the reason why I took my hit last week was to try and get ahead because Liverpool had that great game against Burnley. Luton had that supposedly great game against Sheffield United. And obviously that then would have, I thought I'd get the benefit a week early. I'd then be ready for game week 25. I could roll my two transfers this week, which would then give me two transfers to sort out my team for 26. It got rid of a Chelsea and Tottenham player as well. But like we talk about sometimes, when you plan these things early and you try and work things out, you can get punished as well. Someone like Jules just rolls with the punches, skips his way along through the doubles and the blanks and still ends up coming out smelling of roses. So there are different ways to play it. Some managers will just think, let's go for it and we'll worry about next week. But I do think this particular period between 25 and 29, it would definitely be advisable to sit down and look at how you're going to be in each of the game weeks and look at the moves you're going to make and at what time as well, because you can get really, really punished during this period, I would say.
I think you have to think carefully about Spurs and Chelsea, which is something that you don't normally say heading into a double game week where those two teams don't play, because coming out of the double game week, Chelsea and Spurs go on really nice runs of fixtures where actually you would want them. So you have the blank, but then immediately after that, you're going to want your Spurs and your Chelsea assets back in. So if you sell Cole Palmer or you sell Pedro Porro or you sell Richarlison or whoever it is that you have in your team, you're then going to be looking at that coming into game week 27 thinking, actually, I'd quite like to have Cole Palmer back. I'd quite like to have a Spurs midfielder back. And maybe if you feel like you're on the wrong Spurs player, you're on Porro, you want to save some money, so you want to go back to Udogie afterwards, fine. That makes sense to then sell him and then bring somebody different back in. But I do think that there is an important consideration over Chelsea and Spurs right now going into the double. That is, if I sell them because I want to deal with them for game week 26, what am I doing in the aftermath of that? Because what we could find is, Kel, if you can hold Richarlison through 26, that he becomes a really good differential for you in 27 because so many people will have got rid. Same with Cole Palmer. Like suddenly that ability for them to return good points for you in the immediate aftermath of the blank might actually give you an advantage if you're able to hold them.
My issue comes, Sam, in that I want to hold Cole Palmer because I've got money in him.
Absolutely.
I can't really hold Cole Palmer and Richarlison, I don't think, because my midfield as it stands is Saka. I don't want to sell him at the moment.
Definitely don't.
I think that could really, really hurt if I sell him. Obviously not selling De Bruyne. Then my other midfielders are Richarlison, Palmer, and Gordon. Now, I could sell Gordon, would make sense, but they don't have any blanks as it stands until potentially game week 29. And there's not a load of money. I can't do much, get Gordon to many other people. However, what I am now thinking is with my Trent Alexander-Arnold money, if I bring him down, I could move Gordon up. But the obvious for me at the moment is Richarlison to Foden.
How many blanks do you have for game week
26? You already had Phil Foden, Kelly.
Is that a wind-up?
No.
I sold Phil Foden for Richarlison, and it was a masterstroke when Richarlison scored two goals. It was a disaster when Foden then scored three. So, and also the problem is I'm going to then reverse that transfer. So yeah, thanks.
It was a wind-up. Yeah, thank you.
But having said that, Kel, if you did do the return, like, so just thinking aloud about your team, this is like special coaching for you at the moment.
I love it when this podcast becomes this. We'll get someone in the reviews that will say, the host talks too much about her own team. Or do you know what? If you hosted a podcast like this and had access to experts like I do, I tell you what, you'd do the same.
But also, a lot of managers will be in the same position as you this week.
Agree.
Exactly. I'm speaking for the people.
Yeah, there will be a lot of managers. I wish I had Richarlison over the last few weeks. I don't have this as an issue because I don't have a Spurs midfielder, but if I did, then you have to think carefully about it. Now, I think going into this week, you could go, okay, I mean, it's a home fixture for Richarlison. He actually could
do
really well.
It's a nice fixture, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, he could do really well this week. So you also have to consider that. If you take out some single game week players with good fixtures, are they necessarily going to be massively outscored by the doublers? Now, when you're looking at Manchester City, probably.
Yeah, that's the only player I do it for. That is the only, I do it for a it's because I really want Foden. I feel like,
I get that,
as Ian said before, you need three City players. I thought for a while, maybe I could do Trent to a City defender, but I don't really want to do that. I think, I just feel like there's more value in having, I feel like for me, the optimum City players this week are Haaland, De Bruyne and Foden.
I agree with that. And I think that going into this week, if you therefore want to sell Richarlison, then it makes sense. Because the other thing that you could then do is look at reinvesting in a different Spurs asset coming out of game week 26. So it might be that you go, okay, well, you know, are you going to have a transfer that you can make for free coming out of 26 and into 27? Maybe that's an opportunity to sell Foden, use the money you've kept in the bank from Trent to...
Poor old Foden's going to feel sick with the hokey cokey in and out of my team.
I know, he's in and out and in and out. He's going to shake it all about. Or maybe you sell KDB. You can decide which one of the two you
want
to sell.
Because we're going to have the salary issue at some point.
We're going to have the salary issue. You might want to go for Son. You might want to go for Madison. You might want to... Because Spurs' fixtures look like you're going to invest after that blank. So you might actually, by selling Richarlison now, give yourself the opportunity to invest somewhere different. Having said that, if you can carry him because you've only got three blanking players, or even if you've got four blanking players for 26, I really don't think it's an issue to play 26 with 10.
You know what? I haven't got too many blanking players as it stands in 26. I really want Jota for this game week because I think he's a standout option, but I'm more likely to bring in Phil Foden, leave Jota because of game week 26 problem. Yeah. I've wanted Jota for so long. I wanted Jota when I originally brought in Foden weeks ago, and I really regret not having him. And then in anger, I got rid of Foden and it all became a even bigger disaster. I didn't even go Foden to Jota to but I've just looked, and I could actually, if I'm selling Trent Alexander-Arnold, I hadn't looked since we had confirmation that he was going to be out for as long as this. If I sell Gordon to Foden, I do then have 6.5 million in the bank for a defender, so I could do that, and then I can keep Richarlison. And in terms of blanks for 26, the only players I have blanking are Palmer, Gusto and Richarlison. However, I don't have any Liverpool cover for their double. That's the fear.
But a lot of people will find themselves in that position. What you do about Liverpool at this point is going to be interesting, because obviously we've also got the news that Salah's back in training. We've seen him out on the grass with the team.
Yeah.
So suddenly you're going to have a position where managers go, right, what am I actually doing with Liverpool here? Am I going Salah? That's such a lot of money. And if you've already got KDB and you've got Haaland, I'm not sure how you do that without major surgery in your team, whopping budgets around as
wild card
or wild carding. I think that's the only way to do it. So do you go for Salah? I don't think he's going to start both games.
No, neither do I.
The thing is, we've seen with Klopp so far this season that with Robertson and Trent, when they came back from their injuries, he kind of eased them back in. And that League Cup final is going to be so important to him for Salah to be available for. So I can see minutes in both, maybe one start in the second game, but I don't see him starting in the first. Then what does that impact have on the likes of Jota, the Darwins? You know, they've got Gakpo out. Look, it's quite hard to know what's going to happen. And I think when it comes to Liverpool, I am, and I never thought I'd sit on a podcast and say when Liverpool have a double game week, I'll have one Liverpool asset, because it feels awful. But I can't see a way that I can get comfortably another Liverpool asset without causing myself so many more headaches and having to take hits. So if I'm then going to take a hit for Darwin this week to only hit him back out again next week, he's got to get more than minus eight for that to be worth doing. And I'm not sure how many. We could have a Darwin where he does outstanding things, and we could have a Darwin where he hits the post 20 times in a game. Like, it's hard to know whether that minus eight would be worth it.
Okay, let's go through and do the best picks per club for game week 25. Then we've already kind of touched upon a few of them. But I want to start with one of the teams we haven't discussed as much, Ian. Brentford, Liverpool at home, Man City away. They've then got West Ham in 26 and Burnley in 29. So the double isn't that appealing, but the fixtures after that aren't too bad. Is it Ivan Toney or no one?
Yeah, Ivan Toney's definitely the primary option from Brentford. Absolutely no question at all. Three goals, one assist in four game weeks since he's been back. 8.2 million. Remember, he scored 20 goals last season as well. And actually, two of those goals came at the Etihad Stadium against Manchester City in a win for Brentford as well. So he's got a little bit of form of scoring in these sort of fixtures. His record against the top sides in the Premier League is very good historically as well. Although in three appearances for Brentford in the Premier League, he's never scored against Liverpool. Maybe this is the game week that changes. I don't know. The only other one I might consider, I'm not personally going to do this, but maybe if people are looking at a goalkeeper transfer and trying to work out what they're doing, is the keeper Mark Flecken, 4.5 million. He's got 17 points in the last two game weeks, including an assist against Manchester City and so many save points. It was daft. He set a record, didn't he, in the first half against them by having the most saves ever recorded in a Premier League first half since records began. I think he might be a busy boy against Liverpool and Manchester City as well. So he guaranteed some save points there, certainly. And coming up in the blank game weeks, West Ham away in 26, Burnley away in 29. So if he helps you out in those blanks, maybe you could do that move this week and ride the save point wave that's likely to come for Mark Flecken. But beyond that, I'm just not convinced. The fixtures are really tricky for them.
Want a new goalkeeper, Sam?
Do you want a third one?
Oh, I played the right goalkeeper this week. He got 2 points rather than naught that Areola got. It's 2 weeks in a row, Kel, the right goalkeeper. No, I don't want a new goalkeeper, but I am a little bit more positive about Brentford than Ian is maybe, because I actually think that there's a couple of options. I think Ivan Toney is obviously the way that you go if you want a new forward. I guess if you've got a Cameron Archer or someone like that and you've got money in the bank, or you've got a Trent and you can sell him, then it makes absolute sense to have Toney, because you get the benefit of the double, plus you get playing in 26, plus you get playing in blank game week 29 as well. So in terms of fixtures over the next few weeks, Brentford have the most because they're guaranteed to play in those two blank game weeks, which is ideal from us from an FPL perspective, and of course have the double too. I quite like the Reguilón pick, because you don't have to play him most weeks. He's cheap. You can bench him. You can use him during game week 26. You can, benefit in some ways from that. I also think that there's some attacking threat there. We've seen his underlying numbers don't look great, but that's because he's played so little minutes, be it at Spurs, be it at Manchester United, or now at Brentford. But we did see an attacking return already from him. So I think that there is potential there. He's actually fourth for expected assists at Brentford in the last four game weeks since Toney's come back. So what we do have with him is an ability to put in a good ball, create something. And of course, with players like Morpay and Toney up top, they're people that do finish. So he's got an opportunity, I think. I don't think you're going to, go all out, take minus points to get him. But if you've got a Trent, you want to save some budget to invest in the mid or in a different forward, or you don't have Haaland, then I think he's an option. I also think Matthijs Jensen is an option as well. I quite like him. He's top for expected assists at Brentford in the last four. He's created five chances for his teammates in that period of time. And I just think that he offers a cheap route into the midfield. So again, if you've got an Anthony Gordon, or you've got somebody that you don't really necessarily want to hold over the next few weeks, then you could go for him. Again, you get the benefit of the additional fixtures, plus benchable at his price point. So if you don't want to play him in the weeks where Brentford's fixtures are more difficult, then that's fine. Like, I think Brentford could be the way that you differentiate your team for the double game week, because you don't create any further headaches and you have the benefits of playing in blanks.
Yeah, we are at risk, aren't we, almost, of talking too much about City and Liverpool and focusing in on them. So these are the players that could kind of give you a bit of an edge, I guess, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of those teams where when you see a double game week with Man City and Liverpool in it, you automatically go, that's where I'm going. Mm. And that's where my focus is. And that's the right thing, by the way, because these are two teams that are going to be competing to win the league. Brentford have not been great this season. They haven't been playing that well. They have been so much better since Tony reappeared in the team. And his developing relationship with Morpay is interesting, and it's creating a bit more opportunity for FPL managers. They've signed Reguilón, who's got some attacking threat. So that's an opportunity as well. And Jensen has the ability to get assists across those games. Now, they are horrible fixtures. They're pretty much the worst double game week that you could ask for. However, those two sides have not been keeping clean sheets. Liverpool have got two in the last seven. Manchester City, they're not keeping clean sheets either. They just keep conceding your goal here or there. And so if you're conceding your goal here or there, that's the potential for a couple of goals across the game week for mm-hmm. Brentford. And the good thing you have with Brentford is that you know, roughly speaking, who it will be that will score those goals. It's not like the goals are spread across the whole squad. It's a limited number of people that gets the attacking returns with them. So an investment in Tony or Morpay, an investment in Jensen or Reguilón, it doesn't feel terrible to me.
No, it feels actually quite exciting. Unfortunately, I'm not bold enough to go there. Let's try with Luton then. Their double is Manchester United at home and Liverpool away. They're then blank in game week 26, but another double then in game week 28 with Palace and Bournemouth. Obviously, Ian, we know who you're going to get on the bandwagon for and kind of fly the flag for a bit further. That's a tough double as well, isn't it? And not the result we wanted coming into this game week, we should also add.
No, that's why I did the Doughty move a week early, because I thought I'd get something out of that. Then anything in the double was going to be a bonus. And we should really have had something out of that game week. I mean, yep. Sam said before, 9 chances created. It was the highest in the Premier League for game week 24 as well. But no returns from him, just a one-pointer. These games are really tricky. You know, there's no question about it. I'm not sure I'd be jumping on Luton players for this double game week if you didn't already own them. Doughty, in my mind, is the most popular one because I don't think there's clean sheets coming. But Manchester United at home, Liverpool away, like Sam said, Liverpool's, you know, defensive record not perfect. Manchester United's form, it looks like it's improved and looks like it's becoming more consistent. But away from home, there has been some horrendous performances and results for them this season. And Luton at home as well, you know, developing this real sense of momentum and a real sense of occasion for these sort of matches as well. So United are going to have to fight against the occasion and the atmosphere as well as an improving Luton side. The only other player that I've looked at a little bit, I won't be doing it because I don't really want to touch my front line, is Alaya Adebayo, 4.9 million, 7 goals, 1 assist in the last 9 game weeks, 53 points, which is the third highest during that period for forwards in the game across all teams. So again, maybe it's helping you out in future weeks as well. Luton look like they may have a fixture in 29, obviously depending on how they get on in the FA Cup away at Manchester City. But of course, they don't play in game at 26. So you don't want to be piling on these players and then giving yourself a headache next week, especially when the double is as tough as it is. So a bit like Brentford, really. I'm quite reluctant to promote Luton.
Okay, well, Liverpool and City are going to be the teams that we're all going to pile in on then. So Sam, best options, if you could, who are the best options from both of these teams?
Jota and Nunes. Definitely. I think they feel like the best options to have. The third one at Liverpool's quite tough, I think, because if we knew Salah was guaranteed to get 130 minutes across the double, I think you'd have him in there. If he gets 90 minutes, I think you probably still have him in there. If he gets less than 90 minutes, then you probably don't because of the price point that he is. Luis Diaz put his hand up, didn't he, and waved at us all last weekend and sort of said, don't forget that I exist because you all focus on Jota and Darwin. But again, with Salah coming back, what does that mean in terms of who plays and the minutes that they might get? Connor Bradley, I think, is the third. I think it's Jota and Darwin, and then I think it's Bradley. Because without Trent, surely Bradley gets the starts. You don't have to hold him. So that's the other thing. You could bring him in for the double, and then you could immediately sell him because I don't think you'd have, well, you wouldn't have any money in him. You wouldn't necessarily have any loyalties to him. You know that it's a really short-term pick. So it would be in for the double and then straight back out for the blank in 26. But in the games that he played, I mean, what, he had 2 starts for Liverpool, got 4 attacking returns. He just was so, so good. Now, obviously, we just have to make sure that he is back and available and all of that good stuff. But I think when it comes to Liverpool, Jota, Darwin, and then I think it's Bradley. But gosh, not having Salah in a double would be horrible to watch.
Yeah, but as we said, no confirmation as of yet. It'll be interesting, won't it, to see what Klopp kind of says about him ahead of this week. But obviously, even if he doesn't start the first game, could be fit enough to start the second. What about City then, Ian? You said three, do you agree?
Yeah, City's Foden, KDB and Haaland, the top three. There's not really much to challenge that, to be honest. I will say, though, maybe there's a couple of alternatives. And, you know, we're going to pay attention to Jurgen Klopp's press conference on Friday because of Salah, because of the situation with the fullbacks. Like Sam mentioned, you know, he's kind of Bradley in line to play. Joe Gomez, we think he'll be back after missing last week through illness. Tsimikas is back in the reckoning as well. There's a lot of question marks about that Liverpool defence. In terms of Manchester City, Pep Guardiola's already given us an update on Josko Vardy. Said he's going to be missing for 2 to 3 weeks with an ankle injury. And I think that makes Nathan Aki a really good option for us for this double game week, because whenever Vardiol hasn't started in the Premier League this season, Nathan Aki has started every single time and plays at left back for the majority of that time as well. He's a 5 million option, 7.6% owned, so a little bit of a differential as well. He got 11 points just to tempt us that little bit more against Everton last time out. A clean sheet assist, 2 bonus points as well. So I think he is the City defensive option for me. Heading into this double game week. Kyle Walker obviously looked like a surefire pick a few weeks ago, but John Stones being back fit has put a little bit more of a question mark over Walker's start each week, because Stones can play that right-hand side and invert. The other one, maybe, if you're feeling like you want to take a little bit of a gamble and a little bit of a risk, is Jeremy Doku, 6.5 million. He's not been a brilliant FPL asset this season, no question, but Jack Grealish taken off injured against FC Copenhagen. Bernardo Silva also picking up a knock in that game as well. So like Klopp's press conference, have a listen to Pep's press conference on Friday and see what he says about those two. Because if Bernardo and Grealish are out, then perhaps Doku could be an option for us. The nirvana would be those 22 points, a repeat of that he got in game week 11 against Bournemouth at home when he got 4 assists. But that's one of only 4 game weeks where he's actually returned an attacking return for us this season. So it would be a gamble. You never know. You might get lucky.
Yeah, you might get Julian Ronstar lucky. Okay, then on to...
No one's that lucky.
Chip strategy. Still not here, by the way, is he?
Where is he?
Who knows, but let's enjoy the piece while it lasts. Sam, chips, very quickly. I'm seeing a lot of interest in a triple captain for Erling Haaland, and I'm not against it. I'm still considering.
So there's over 500,000 of them active so far. Most managers will just wait until the closer to the deadline and then they'll hit them. I think there'll be well over 1 million of these chips played by the time our deadline passes at the weekend. I'll be surprised, very, very surprised if they aren't. So then the question comes, is there a better week to play it? Because that's what you've got to look at. Mm-hmm. It seems like a good opportunity now.
Can I just point out, that was my one reservation. I always have the fear that at the end we're going to get a far better double for a team like City. That's my reservation with it.
But as we looked at last week on the pod, if Man City make it through in the FA Cup and therefore don't play in game week 29, that's the fixture then that needs to be arranged. It's likely to go in 34 or 37, both of which they have away fixtures in. So you're not likely to get 2 home fixtures for Manchester City at a moment where Haaland and KDB are playing and Foden are playing as well as they are, and they're creating as many opportunities as they are. So for me, then I look at, okay, well, is there an opportunity for anybody else at any other point? Now, yes, there could be, because obviously you've got teams like Liverpool, who if they progress in the FA Cup will have fixtures to be rescheduled. Could we have an opportunity later on with Mo Salah? Yes, possibly we can. But all of those are, yes, possibly we cans. This is a here and now moment where we've got Haaland fully fit and available and KDB fully fit and available in a really great double with 2 home fixtures. So for me, there's everything else is just chatter of things that might happen. This is what we know. And you can only play FPL based on what we know in this moment. So if you hold it, yes, you might get something great later, but you're playing it in something great right now. So that's why for me, I'll play it this week. I am really tempted by KDB. That performance against Copenhagen, I was fully, fully on Haaland. That's how it was going. The performance by KDB on Tuesday evening made me go, ooh, maybe I want a little sideways turn into the captaincy here, because again, it's a midfielder, and I do love handing the triple captain to a midfielder because you get the bonus points for clean sheets, you get the additional points for goals and all of that great stuff that you don't get for the forwards. But the fear's going to get me, isn't it? And I'll end up triple captain in Haaland.
So Ian, just to confirm, you are triple captaining Haaland. It's quite good that this was such a decisive conversation because we're running out of time.
I feel like I'm the fear, to be honest. I just don't see any other reason to go elsewhere. If you want to be different, if you're catching up, maybe you gamble, but it's a huge gamble. I talked about effective ownership briefly earlier on in the podcast. If you're not sure what that is, basically, if you own a player and everyone owns them, that's 100%. If you captain them and everyone owns them, that's 200%. If you triple captain and everyone owns them, that's 300%. And I reckon his effective ownership across this week is going to be something like 250%, maybe.
Yeah.
It could even be higher than that, to be fair, considering how popular a triple captain is going to be. So that means that his points times 2.5, that's how it's going to damage you if you don't own him at all. You know, even if you own him, it's going to damage you by 1.5. Even if you captain him, it's probably going to damage you by half of his points. You know, so you're on for a red arrow if you don't triple captain him this week, basically. So it depends what sort of 100%. Player you are as well. If you're the type of player who likes to take risks, who likes to take gambles, who likes to go against the crowd, by all means, go ahead, don't triple captain him. But if you're the type of manager who wants to play it safe, you know, I am probably more that type of manager than the other. For me, it's triple captain on Erling Haaland this week.
The caveat for that is, of course, if you haven't triple captained him this week, but you do captain, triple captain somebody like KDB or Phil Foden, and they go off in the way that we've seen in recent weeks.
It's a huge
then
green arrow.
Yes,
isn't it?
You lose. Yeah, you might lose those additional points for Haaland, but the gain of green is greater with them. So it depends on your risk reward strategy. If you are the type of manager that is really risk averse, then you play it on Haaland because you have the ability then to just cancel out what everyone else is doing. If you are the type of manager that wants the green arrow and the massive reward, then you take a risk and you say, I'm not giving it to Haaland. And yes, that means the negative effect of anything that he returns is going to be greater. However, if you pick it right and you give it to a KDB or a Foden and they return big, the potential green is huge because everyone else has gone over here. So it depends on how risky you feel like being. And if you're brave, the upside is massive.
Well, well, well. He's just sat there very patiently and quietly for once because he did join during the answer. Jules, nice of you to be with us and be so punctual.
Hello, guys.
What time do you call
Paris
this?
Paris time. I mean, Paris time is 9 a.m., so it's all good.
You must be knackered.
I'm sorry. The train, the Eurostar cancelled the train. It was slow a little bit. So I did my best bit. I promise to come back from Paris as quickly as possible.
Well, better late than never and all
that.
Get
your priorities right, please.
And quite good timing as well, Jules, because you love this section, even if you've been absolutely shocking at it recent weeks. It's time for differential of the week. Both of you have been pretty poor recently. Jules, you picked Neto last week, got a grand total of 2 points. Sam, you picked Barkley, who also matched that with a total of 2 points.
At least we were consistent.
Yeah.
Well done, guys.
Neto deserves better.
Come on then, Ian. If you're going to be so smug saying well done, who you got for us this week?
Andy Robertson for me. 3.3% owned, back fit for Liverpool. Didn't get any returns against Burnley, but he looked extremely dangerous down that left-hand side. And remember, you know, historically, he's been an absolutely incredible FPL asset. 56 assists in the previous six seasons before this one for Liverpool. He's got a double this week. He's my differential.
I like that. I love how Ian delivers his differentials, don't you guys? It's like a speech.
Thanks, Kelly.
He's planned,
it is,
it's concise. And not a bad broadcaster sometimes, you, Ian.
Just sometimes, though, Ian.
Occasionally.
Go on then, Sam. We're making Jules go last because he was last here.
All right, let's stick with the defenders then. I'm going to go for Nathan Ake. He's owned by 7.6%. And as Ian was saying earlier, with the injuries that Man City have, I expect him to hopefully get the two starts across the double game week. An assist and a clean sheet and 11 points against Everton. He also scored against Spurs in the FA Cup, although that brings back bad memories for me. But yeah, there was an attacking return there. So we've seen the attacking threat that he has. Started all of the last six, two attacking returns in that time, two clean sheets. He's also created one chance and had six shots on goal in that period. So I think a nice option across the double and, of course, plays in 26 as well.
I love we're rattling through these powerful deliveries today. Go on, Jules.
So I'm going to go back to Liverpool with Conor Bradley replacing Trent. So I can hear there's a little doubt maybe over him playing the two games because Joe Gomez is another option. He's trained this week, he's trained well. And I think Klopp will want to play him at least one of the two games. Why not the two games? And then he plays the League Cup final as well. I think there's something for Liverpool as well to have a more traditional right back in Trent's absence that plays slightly differently to what Trent does. Remember the performance that he had against Chelsea, 21 points. He returned against Bournemouth the game before that with 8 points too. So I think he's costing you 4.1 million, so much cheaper than the two other picks made by my colleagues. And he's owned by 2.3% as well, so it's a great differential.
It's a very good differential. Okay, like both those two.
All the defenders.
One Man City there, and some cheaper options in those teams as well, which might help managers out this week. Okay, then transfers and captains. Jules, before you got here, we discussed that it does sound like all of us. I wasn't 100% sure, but I kind of got bullied into it, particularly from Ian, that I kind of have to triple captain Erling Haaland. So I'm going to do it.
Ian.
You going to do it too?
Yeah, I have to, because I don't know if you mentioned I'm obviously top of a mini league. I'm top of a lot of my mini leagues. I'm also not
hold
far
on,
from
hold on. Pause that thought.
Sorry.
Because not only this week did I beat you by, I think, about 2 points, Jules and I are in another league, which is a head-to-head, and I was playing him this week. Thank goodness this was the week I was playing him, because he's beating me every other week.
You have
and
to
I
win
beat him
sometimes.
This week.
I
beat
him.
Perfect.
Anyway, as you were.
But more seriously, I just can't take any risk. I know a lot of people, you know, around my rank, I'm going to triple captain Haaland, and it would be too risky for me to choose somebody else or to not triple captain him. So I will go with the flow, I think, and like you guys also do it.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, it's not tough when you're as high up in the rankings as you are, Jules. You've also kind of got to protect rank a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay, so we're all going to triple captain Erling Haaland. Sam's pulling her hair, literally. I know everyone can't see this right now, but she's twirling her hair around with nerves because she can't decide, Jules, between De Bruyne and Haaland.
Oh. So at my shoulder. So the thing is that if KDB goes off and I've captained him over, so that it's just what Jules was just saying is right? At his rank, you have to protect it. At mine, I kind of want to do the opposite, because if it pays off, then I'll be ahead of Jules.
But surely there's a little doubt that KDB might not play the two games for 90 minutes. Might not even start both.
You see him come off the bench and get 20 odd points, Jules.
Yeah, or four as well.
Yeah, but you know, risk and reward.
My issue with KDB, and I don't want to talk you out of it completely, Sam, because I've already been quite bullish on this. For how good he's been since he's been back in the Premier League, he's only scored once, and that was off the bench against Newcastle in that
Until
first game
this week,
back.
Ian.
Maybe, yeah. And he could go off this week, but is his ceiling as high as Erling Haaland? If you think this is going to be a high scoring week for Manchester City with this double, who is the more likely player to be amongst the goals?
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree, which is why probably the fear will get me. However,
I am the fear.
You
as
are.
I've said
you
three
are
times.
Absolutely the fear today. That's what you're here for today, just to put fear of God in everyone.
I mean, by all means, do it. I don't think that you have to, you know, pick Erling Haaland. Like I've said, if you want to be different, there is a huge opportunity to get a huge gain on people. You know, imagine Haaland blanked across these 2 weeks and you hit a sweet spot with someone else. I just think the risk is huge.
He won't blank. But if the person you pick instead does better, there's that. That's the opportunity.
Okay, on to transfers then. I don't think anyone's going to have decided this. Ian, you've kind of teased yours a couple of times.
Yeah, so Trent Alexander-Arnold is the player now that's got a question mark on him. I wanted to roll this week. I wanted to have 2-3 transfers next week to run away from the Liverpool players to then be able to field 11 for the blank game week in 26. And what my thinking is that I'll accelerate one of the moves I was looking at doing in game week 26. So rather than attacking the double, I'll pick someone who plays in 26, has good fixtures going forward, and also has a good fixture this week, and that's William Saliba. Because I think the one danger we've got with these doubles is that you just pay no attention to any of the single game weekers. Mm-hmm. And Arsenal have been really, really good. And obviously they had that 6-0 win against West Ham last time out. Bukayo Saka has been incredible form, but the defence as well, they have the best defence in the Premier League. This is a season where there's not many clean sheets going around. And Arsenal, you know, it looks like in the remainder of this campaign, it should be a strength for them. They've got Burnley in this game week as well. So at the moment, my thinking is Saliba in, Trent Alexander-Arnold out. I've got a good fixture this week. And it also means that was a move I was going to do next week. So it doesn't interrupt my plans moving forward. And I don't have to take a hit next week for that.
Sam?
I might go Solanke to Tony.
Despite them having a double in a few weeks, Bournemouth.
Yeah, because then, but that's like I was saying earlier, Kel, the problem I have with this is that I would then want to reverse it again going into game week 27. So I don't hate it because it means I've got Tony for game week 26 and then I can swap it for 27, or maybe I swap Ollie Watkins for Solanke in 27. I think it gives me an opportunity to play with the front line a little bit. But I don't love it and I don't need to do it. And actually maybe not making that transfer is the better thing to do because it saves the transfer. I actually really like my team as it is. I just would like one more double game week player. And I've got a massive benching headache as it is already. So I don't want to create myself too many issues. I do only have two Man City players though. So the obvious choice is to bring Ake in and back my differential.
Jules, what about you?
I've got Udogi that I would like to transfer out to bring a player with a double game week. So either a Conor Bradley, for example, or Nathan Ake, who is the only, the one City defender that I had in mind as well. And I think I like the Bradley idea because I think he will play potentially even the two games, start the two games. I think there's a case for Klopp to start him in both to get him ready for the League Cup final. And because I think I will free hit for 26 anyway, I can have, you know, 6, 7, 8 double game week players. It doesn't matter so much for now. So I'm really tempted by the Conor Bradley option. So I'm going to wait to see what Klopp says and then probably do either Bradley or Ake for Udogi.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Jules? Because I feel like we haven't had much of you today. We only had 10 minutes of you and we were at the point in the podcast where we're rattling through because time's short. I just wanted to see if you wanted to gloat about anything or...
Yeah, I mean, obviously being so close to 5K in the world is a great achievement. I just kind of wish that the season would stop, we finish now. But there's great momentum going. It was another good week, even if you and Sam beat me, obviously, which is a good thing. I think, as you know, I'm there because I planned so well. So I think free hit 26 and then the wild card at some point after that is the way to go for me.
Are you a bit nervous coming into this period? Because we've been saying to you for a few weeks, this is the period where if you don't forward plan, you're going to get found out. And this is the period where potentially it could fall apart.
Also, you two think I'm a joker. So I need to, in a way, show and a lot of the listeners as well, to be fair.
Jules,
and
you, all three of us think you're a joker, mate. You. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I thought as a brotherhood, you might back me up, but no,
a nice
not.
Joker. He's a likeable joker. Yeah.
On that note, guys, let's end this podcast there. Thanks for your company this morning, particularly Ian and Sam, not so much you, Jules. A reminder, the code, if you do want to join in with the FPL Pod Mini League, which I mention each and every week, it is IB3WLK. Your deadline this week is Saturday morning. It's 11 a.m. That's 90 minutes ahead of Liverpool's first game of their double against Brentford. Ian will be back with this week's fantasy show on Friday morning. Off the Bench will be back on Tuesday. Gianni and Oscar will take you through the first 10 matches of game week 25. I love the doubles where you if you start really well at that point midway through the game where you can be really kind of confident and really, and then it can all go
all fall apart.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen to you if you're listening at home. Thanks for being with us as always, and we'll be back next week. Bye bye.